Hello, my name is Fabian, and I would like to read to you a German nursery rhyme that's been around since around 1900, and it's meant to teach children contradictions. Pretty much every line in this poem contradicts itself, and that is kind of the fun of it. In German, it sounds like this. Dunkel war's, der Mond schien helle, Schnee bedeckt die grüne Flur, als ein Wagen blitzesschnelle langsam die Ecke fuhr. In English, that means, dark it was, the moon shone bright, on snow-covered fields of green, when a coach came fast as light, slowly round the corner's beam. Dunkel war's, der Mond schien helle, Schnee bedeckt die grüne Flur, als ein Wagen blitzesschnelle langsam die Ecke fuhr.
Nestled in the Bay of Bengal in the Indian Ocean, the island of North Sentinel is inhabited by one of the last hunter-gatherer tribes who abstained from connecting with the modern world. You don't think about this island because of its untouched white sandy beaches or pristine vegetation. Rather, it's an island of mystery, known around the world for stories of cannibals on its shores. A huge buzz was generated around the island in 2018 after missionary John Allen Chow ventured to North Sentinel. Instead of bringing the message of God to the Sentinelese people, it's where he met his demise. But before his sensational story, attempts at connecting with the Sentinelese had been made on several occasions. And one man who is able to explore those waters and actually view the Sentinelese people up close is Adam Goodhart. He's written The Last Island, Discovery, Defiance, and the Most Elusive Tribe on Earth to tell us about his journeys to this fascinating land. And Adam joins us now. Adam, thanks for being with us.
Rick, it's great to be here.
Wow, what a story. The Last Island. Oh, my goodness. I want to get into that. But first, I want to talk about these elusive tribes in general. It's so evocative to me that there are tribes of human beings living as if, I think, in the Stone Age, right? Untouched by modern civilization. Can you describe the state of these hunter-gatherer tribes around the planet, and what is their technology? Is it actually Stone Age?
So you're right. It's difficult to believe that at this late date in human history, in the new millennium, there are still probably about 10,000 people in the world who are living in hunter-gatherer tribes, totally or almost totally out of touch with what we would think of as modern civilization. They're in places mostly in the Amazon, deep in the Amazon rainforest, perhaps others in the highlands of New Guinea. It's hard to say since, of course, we aren't in regular touch with them and they don't have their own Twitter accounts. But these are tribes that are living certainly in hunter-gatherer lifestyles, not using what we think of as modern technology. The Sentinelese hunt and fish with spears and arrows. But I would caution against saying that they live in the Stone Age or talking about them as though they're inhabiting another time, because, of course, they're just as much global citizens of our own day as we are. They are making use of their own technologies that are in their own ways very sophisticated. Imagine, for instance, being a Sentinelese fisherman and wading into the surf off the beach of North Sentinel Island and trying to shoot a moving fish with your arrows. It takes incredible technical prowess to be able to do that. So there's nothing primitive about these tribes at all.
My challenge is to get into their mindset, their global view, as I'm sure you've wondered about. And if they wanted to be connected, they could send an emissary out and they could get all sorts of help, I would imagine. But maybe they don't want help. What is their viewpoint? Because they've made a decision to be off the grid.
In fact, today, instead of calling these groups uncontacted tribes, which is the traditional term for them, anthropologists prefer to talk about groups in voluntary isolation, because clearly they've decided that their foreign policy is they don't want to be in touch with the rest of the world. Yeah. It could be that at some point they decide that they want to change that foreign policy, but for the time being, at least they've made it very clear, and they've made it clear by coming out with their bows and arrows and spears when people try to get too close that they really do not.
Like, this is serious. You are not welcome here. This is not an open house culturally.
Exactly.
I remember when I was traveling in Bali, my mission was to visit with these people called the Bali Aga, and they were a remote community that was essentially walled off from the rest of the world. And I ventured up there on the back of a motorcycle with this guy, and they had made a point to be apart. In fact, they did it in part by having a very, very strict policy of if you didn't marry within the tribe, you would be ostracized. You couldn't live in that village. But it also kept them apart from the modern world, as was what their intention was.
And of course, within these groups, we know that there is a lot of diversity of opinion, as there is in every human community. And in fact, North Sentinel Island is part of the Andaman Islands in the Indian Ocean, part of a larger archipelago. And there are other tribes on some of the other islands that have a bit more contact with the rest of the world. In fact, there's a group called the Jarawa on Great Andaman Island that's very similar culturally and physically to the Sentinelese. And when I went to the Andamans for the first time in 1998, I actually witnessed some of the Jarawa, who previously had been just as hostile to outsiders as the Sentinelese, emerging from the forest and sort of extending the hand of friendship for the first time to the very different people who lived in the surrounding communities, people who had immigrated there from India, people who were living lives that we would think of as more modern and similar to our own. And it was fascinating seeing the interchanges, the interactions between these people. And there was one young man in particular whom I got to know named Enme, who was a teenager and had been one of the first Jarawa to emerge from the jungle. And when I met him, he had developed a liking for TV and candy, and he was wearing a baseball cap and sort of hanging around with the local Indian policeman. And it seemed to me that he was well on his way to sort of joining modernity.
The world. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I went back to the Andaman Islands in 2020, of course, I wanted to find out what had happened to this young man, and I expected to find him sort of living a more modern existence. But in fact, I discovered that shortly after I left in 98, he decided to go back into the jungle. He married a young woman who lived deep in the forest, and he had abandoned his modern clothing and was living as a naked hunter-gatherer again and had no interest in the outside world. He had seen enough to decide that he had seen enough.
I love that. What an interesting story. And I would think a tribe like that on the fringe of that world, there would be this notion that, hey, we could be a tourist attraction. We could get filthy rich. We could all have TVs and baseball hats. But there's a young man that tried it and he decided, no, there's something more pristine about our lifestyle.
Exactly.
Do anthropologists look at these special, fragile, tender little groups of communities, human communities, as something that is endangered and of value and best to just kind of look at from a distance and don't disturb? They must value it in a way an average traveler doesn't.
I think they do, although I think there's also debate even within the anthropological community about how to interact and whether to interact with these groups. Of course, I think easy to say, well, we should simply leave them alone if they've obviously demonstrated that they want to be left alone. They've clearly communicated, even if we don't speak each other's language. Arrows and spears speak louder than words.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they don't know much necessarily about all of the threats that are facing them from the outside world. And if there were to be some sort of illicit contact with this group that might introduce alien microbes that might spread disease, they don't know that there could be the possibility that they could be protected against that from modern medicine. So some anthropologists have actually argued that it's our responsibility to try to establish enough contact at least to let them know that we're here to help them in the event of an emergency. That hasn't happened yet, but it's a very, very difficult decision to make.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're joined by Adam Goodhart, and he's one of the few people on this planet to see the elusive Sentinelese people up close. He's with us now to discuss his time researching and exploring the people of North Sentinel Island, and he writes about it in his book, The Last Island: Discovery, Defiance, and the Most Elusive Tribe on Earth. Adam is a professor at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, and he's the director of the Star Center for the Study of the American Experience. Adam, okay, let's get into the focus of your book. Your book, The Last Island, refers to an island that's part of the Andaman Islands. And I remember when I was a kid looking at the map, and there, off of the coast of India, in the Indian Ocean, was this remote island, and I was just always fascinated by it. But reading through your book, I didn't ever dream of the story. That one island, North Sentinel, has a tribe that really has had a fascinating story, or history of its contact with what we would call civilization. Describe this tribe.
You know, when you talk about the Andaman Islands, even the name has a sort of a romantic ring to it, doesn't it? It almost sounds like the beating of distant drums. And if you think of the islands and what they look like, they also look like a sort of a romantic dream of a tropical, gorgeous tropical paradise. They're islands that are piled with thick green jungle and ringed with pure white sand and lagoons and coral reefs.
Yeah, you know, I was looking just through the photographs in your book. You really see that. It's like this idyllic, utopian, tropical island. And you can just imagine tribes having a potentially a wonderful life right there without any incursions from the rest of the world.
And North Sentinel Island specifically, which is one of hundreds of islands in the archipelago, really burst into the news about 5 years ago when a young American traveler kayaked onto the beach of North Sentinel and was killed by natives wielding bows and arrows. And this young man's name was John Allen Chow, and he was going as an evangelical Christian missionary. He was a graduate of Oral Roberts University, and he'd come to convert the natives to Christianity. He had referred to them as the inhabitants of Satan's last stronghold. And he did not succeed in proselytizing among them. He had just a brief missionary career on the island that included his reading aloud to them in English from a waterproof Bible that he had brought with him. And what exactly he hoped to accomplish from that, I'm not sure. But in any case, he did not win their souls, but he did win another kind of immortality for himself in a sort of very 21st century way. His story and the existence of this island went viral. And suddenly, all over the world, millions of people were fascinated with the fact that here was a group of indigenous human beings who still exist in our own time on an island where they live in almost total isolation. Their language and their culture are still almost completely unknown to anthropologists, and they defend themselves with their weaponry against any would-be invader of their land. And this really just kindled the imagination of people around the world and surprised people around the world. It didn't surprise me, actually, because I had been fascinated with this island for about 20 years, ever since I was a young writer and traveler in my 20s and first heard about this place. I just wanted to know everything I could about it. I wanted to see it with my own eyes if I could. And I just wanted to be able to explore and reflect on the idea that still in this very, very explored world of ours today, there's still terra incognita.
Wow. What a story. I mean, to learn more about this ill-fated missionary's visit, well, he received a very rude awakening that they didn't want what he was teaching. You have a connection with the same people from before, but didn't end up with the same fate. Tell us your contact with the Sentinelese people.
So I went in 1998 to the Andaman Islands. And first of all, in researching what became the book that I've just published, which has been a process of many years, I spoke with everyone who I could find who had had any contact, no matter how glancing, whether people who were involved in a shipwreck off the beach of the island in 1981, or some anthropologists who went in the 1990s and they were Indian anthropologists, they managed to get far enough, close enough to the island to wade into the surf off the beach and hand gifts of bananas and coconuts to the native people.
Yeah, but didn't they? You wrote how they actually mooned him. I can just see these people mooning him and then defecating in his presence just to say, we don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot for them to moon because they're not wearing anything in the first
just
place.
Just turn around and bend over.
Exactly. They wear these little bark ornaments around their necks and sometimes a little belt around their waist, and that's about it. But yeah, they do have some very rude gestures that they like to make to outsiders, and that's their way of telling them you'd really better leave. And, you know, some of the Indian anthropologists who have spent time studying these people say that it's really worth noting that they only kill intruders as a last resort. That young American guy actually had to land three times before they finally killed him. On the first visit, they just sort of made these rude gestures and yelled at him.
Yeah.
On his second visit, a child actually came up and shot an arrow that pierced the waterproof Bible that he was preaching from. And it was only on the third visit that they actually shot directly to kill him.
Wow.
So when I went there in the 90s, I was really, first of all, just learning everything I could about the island without actually going there. But then at the very end of my trip, I did decide to go to the island. And it was a risky venture because this is a place where it's completely illegal to go. The Andaman Islands are officially part of the Republic of India, an offshore territory of the Republic of India. And so the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard patrol with boats and helicopters to make sure that nobody comes within miles of the shore of North Sentinel Island. Now, of course, it's not impossible to elude them.
But the Indian government is actually physically protecting the island because they care about this fragile and precious little remnant of some age gone by.
Exactly, which is pretty amazing that in a nation of a billion and a half people, the largest nation in the world, that they would care for just a few dozen members of the tribe. But in any case, yeah, we had to think about, of course, the Indian patrols that might be circling the island. Mm-hmm. We also had to think about the fact that it was the end of the monsoon season, and so there was the risk of extreme weather blowing in at any moment. But I managed to befriend some local fishermen from one of the other islands. These are descendants of settlers from the Indian mainland. And I got them to take me in their fishing boat, which was really barely more than a dugout canoe, maybe 20 feet long, with an 8-horsepower inboard engine inside. And in this, we set out in the small hours of the night. We crossed 30 miles of open ocean until just at sunrise, we saw the light rising around this pristine tropical island. And as we drew closer, the fishermen were the first to spot what looked to me at first like a tree stump, until the tree stump actually stood up and walked across the beach. And we realized that it was one of the indigenous people from North Sentinel Island, and that I was seeing the Sentinelese with my own eyes. We came close enough to see that they were holding what looked like bows and arrows or spears. One of them actually put out into the lagoon in a small dugout canoe. And so for a few brief minutes, we were sort of looking at each other across the reef, two young men in small boats. And then, sure enough, as we rounded the far side of the island, a big monsoon storm came blowing in with an enormous water spout drifting across the ocean. And I won't give the whole story away because I tell it in my book, but it turned into quite an adventure before we got back safe.
We have more with Adam Goodhart in just a minute as he tells us what we do know about the most isolated people on Earth, the Sentinelese, who live on North Sentinel Island in the Bay of Bengal, and why it's probably best we leave them alone. And for something completely different, we'll also look into visiting Coimbra, Portugal. It's home to a distinguished university founded more than 700 years ago. We're embracing the variety the world has to offer. It's Travel with Rick Steves.